book of Joshua, I'm not going to go into history and geography. Many people think Moses was a great leader, and when Moses dies, all the children of Israel, they were very sad. But Joshua was like an assistant to Moses. All the time he was with him. So God is talking to Joshua. I was thinking how God knows your heart. When you are afraid, when you are sick, when you are worried, when you feel helpless, God comes to rescue. Joshua's name was not a Joshua in the beginning. Let's read the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verse 8.
Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun.
Now, his name is Hosea, or Hoshea. But Moses, I think, changed his name. In the same chapter, read the verse 16.
These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua.
Now, we know his name was changed, and Joshua means maybe salvation, God's warrior. So here we see God has selected the man. He was already showing interest with Moses and like a Moses right hand. But the Moses ministry and Joshua's ministry is not the same. Most of the time we see what the Moses did, Joshua did, but Moses was called the prophet. But Joshua is not called a prophet. If you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 18, please read from verse 15 to 19. Moses was discouraged and he said, I want somebody to lead the nation because he says, I'm not able, I'm tired, I want somebody to be a leader. And he was praying to God to send somebody. Please read.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, and neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
Now here we see Moses wanted somebody just like him be a prophet. And he was requesting God. God says, okay, that's what is your desire. I'm going to send another prophet. But this is not a Joshua, than another prophet. Because Jesus Christ was the greatest prophet and the last prophet came into this world. And many disciples and even today, many scholars think Moses is a great man and Moses is going to come back in a time of tribulation as we read in Revelation chapter 11 that two witnesses will be there. So many scholars think Moses will come back. But I have news for them. They have to read the Bible. Hebrews 9:27, what it says. God has appointed a day for man once to die after that judgment. Moses is already dead. God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, Moses is dead. Now, many people do not believe that Moses is dead because they say we don't find his body. You have to go and read the book of Jude. They were taking the Moses' body to bury, and the fallen angels, they came and start fighting. He said, this is our body. And the Michael came and then defeated them, and they were able to bury the body. He says, God buried Moses' body. Actually, God did not bury, the angel buried the body. So the point I'm making, if the Moses body was available today, they will be making big monument. So God knows what he's doing. The same time when he says, I'm going to send another prophet, many people were looking for a prophet. And the many scholars in those days, Pharisees, start saying to the John the Baptist, are you the prophet? What the prophet? He was trying, what Moses was saying, are you that man? And so Jesus Christ was that prophet. But his disciples didn't understand. Go to the Matthew chapter 17 and read first 6 verses.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias.
Now see what happens here. And so Peter didn't want Jesus to be killed. So the Peter said, this is a good opportunity. They saw Jesus Christ like a son of man or son of God. And so he said, let's do one thing. Make one house, or the tabernacle is a house, or the mansion or building, whatever. One for Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And they thought this is a good company. They thought Jesus Christ is a prophet, Moses is a prophet, Elijah is a prophet, so they can be having good prophet company, and we will be safe, and Jesus Christ doesn't have to die. That's what they were thinking. But before Jesus Christ could say anything, see what happened. The voice came from heaven.
While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
Now what the word of God was saying, or what the voice was saying, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was not well pleased with Moses, because he disobeyed God. He was not well pleased with Elijah, because he said, Lord, I'm not good enough, please kill me. And so, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God was well pleased. The same voice came when Jesus Christ took a water baptism, and what he said, this is my beloved Son. At that time, he did not say, listen to him or hear him. But this time, first time he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because he obeyed the commandment. If Jesus didn't take the water baptism, then he will not be the obedient Son. He will not be pleasing his Father, because that commandment was for every mankind. So Jesus became a man, so he has to obey this commandment. And he said, I have come to fulfill all the commandments and all the laws. So Jesus Christ said to John the Baptist, let it be according to the commandment of God or according to the will of God, and I have to fulfill it. But here the voice says, listen to him. This is my beloved Son, and I am well pleased in him, and you listen to him. Not to Moses, not to Elijah. Moses' work is finished, and Elijah's work is remaining. He will be there later on. But listen to Jesus Christ. If you read a little bit further, this was Jesus Christ says, this was a vision. In reality, Moses didn't come, Elijah didn't come, this was just a vision, like a film. And Jesus said, do not tell anyone this vision until Jesus Christ is resurrected. So the point I'm making, then after the resurrection, Peter, Paul, John, and all these disciples came to know that Jesus Christ is the prophet and Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So why I'm saying this, Joshua is not that prophet when Moses was asking God to send the prophet. And then somebody will say, who wrote the book? Joshua wrote the book. As we start studying, we will know. Let's start from the beginning. Book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1.
Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses.
Now here the Lord is giving the order to Joshua, and he said, already Moses told you and sent you to conquer this land. And he said, wherever your foot will tread upon or you put your foot, that land I'll give it to you. Let's read the Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24.
Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be.
Okay, now can you imagine when God said something, he doesn't say something and doesn't do it. God said, wherever you go, you're going to spy the land. And when you see the land, wherever your foot touches, that land I'll give it to you. Now, many people, we are not conquering the land. But if you are a minister, if you are a followers of Christ, and you are going to places, you should be saying, like a word of God says, wherever I put my foot, that land, God will give it to me. I did that. In India, I traveled all over the India. Every state I went, and I said, Lord, give me this land for evangelism. And today, most of the places I went, we have the ministers doing the Lord's work. So the point I'm making, God said to Joshua and Caleb and all those 12 people went, wherever you put your foot, that land I'll give it to you. And God gave it to them. Now the time has come to conquer the land. So the point I'm making, in India I did that. One time I saw the biggest hall. They said, this is the biggest hall in Gujarat state. So I said, Lord, I want this hall to preach the gospel. Nobody ever preached the gospel in that land. Many Americans might have come and gone, but they never rented that place. It's a long story, but God gave me grace to rent that place. And when I used that place for, I wanted only 3 days, they gave me for 10 days free. So God can do it when you are obeying God. So here now Joshua already went to the land and came by faith, Joshua and Caleb. And you have to read how much grapes they bought. To one grape wine they have to carry. They have to carry with the two people carrying the grape wine. And I was thinking how big that grape should be to people, two people to carry. These two people, Joshua and Caleb, they were very faithful. They were very courageous. And they said, we are going to conquer this land. And I'm not going to go back to the story. Maybe someday we will be studying the other books also. But here he says, when you go, I'm going to give this land as I promised to you. Once God says, I will give it to you, you have to believe it. Many times you pray and ask God something, and after you finish prayer, you say, I don't think I'm going to get it. Or I don't think God heard my prayer. If you read in a book of Mark, chapter 11, and you have to read from verse 22 to 25, it says when you pray, you believe it, and then you will receive it, and you will have it. The word of God is true. We have to trust in God. Okay, let's read. Go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, starting from verse 4.
From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast.
Now, all this map, God has showed them and said, they already surveyed the land and came. But he says, this is the land I'm going to give it to you. But this land, before Joshua and before Moses could dream about this land, God already told Abraham, I'm going to give this land. But the first time your children has to go to the Egypt at least 400 years. After 400 years, when they will come, then they will be able to get this land. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, and start reading from verse 18 to 21.
In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites.
All this land God promised to Abraham. But Abraham was not able to conquer that land. If you remember, the lot was taken by some other kings, and Abraham had only very small army. And he went and defeated those people and rescued the lot. So that time Abraham was not able to defeat all the enemies. There were 7 nations and 31 kings to destroy. And so all those nations, some of the names we read, they are not exist today. They are all defeated, they are all killed, but it needed a big army to do that job. So God waited for 400 years, and God trained these people in the wilderness to how to defeat these people. And Joshua was the only one can lead these people to defeat these people. Let's go back to the Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5.
There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, not fail thee nor forsake thee.
Now, this is a great assurance. You are going to defeat 31 kings and 7 nations. It's not a small work. It's a great, great work. And even the God told them to go and do this job, and there are so many warriors, but God has chosen the Joshua. God is talking to the leader. Leader has to take the leadership. If the leader is not strong, your army cannot do anything. And in those days, if the king is defeated, everybody is defeated. And so God is telling Joshua, be strong. I was with Moses, and I'll be with you. So Joshua saw some of the fighting and how Moses got victory. So he said, I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. There will be no person, no man can stand against you. Means nobody can defeat you. But at the same time, you have to be strong. I told you many times, when the dog is barking and you run from the dog, he will follow you. He will bite you. But the dog is barking and you look at eye to eye contact and you make your voice stronger than his, he will run. Same way the people use the same psychology. If you are afraid of them, they will defeat you. You have to be strong. That's why the Reagan said, you know, if you want to be defeating all the people and people have to be afraid, we have to be strong. When you are strong, even though you don't have to use those things like weapons, but you have more weapons, you have more army, you have more people trained, and then people will be afraid of you. Look at the China. Chinese people, in the beginning, they were very small people. Today, they are giants. Some of them now, I don't know what they eat, what they do research, and some Chinese people are big. But they were small people. But now what they start doing? Building their army, building their weapons. Now they are almost number 2 in the world. Still America is number 1, but financially we are not number 1. Small people became giant, and now they are not afraid of anybody. They're messing around our country, all the electronics and all the files and all the militaries and everything, they're messing up. But we are not learning. We are telling our enemies to build our weapons. We are telling our enemies to make helicopter for us or make plane for us. You should not be doing that. You should not be telling your secret to somebody else. They are learning your tactic. They know how your warrior work. They know what your secret is. And they are after us to defeat. So here the Lord is trying to tell us, don't go and befriend with them. You will be strong. Nobody can defeat you. See, Solomon made a mistake. Solomon's father was a great king. And when he handed over to Solomon, that time there was a peace. Why? Because they were afraid of David. But now Solomon had no training. He was not in an army or military. His father was 17 years and he was fighting. So what happened? He did another tactic. I'm talking about Solomon. Start marrying every king's daughter. Think, oh, if I marry some king's daughter, then he will not fight with me because his daughter is with me. That was a bad tactic. And what happened? Spiritually, he died. And God was not pleased with him. And so God says, you're not going to be king, strong king. Your kingdom will be divided. When you come to the kings, we'll learn that story. But here we see, God is trying to say to Joshua, be strong. Even though I am going to fight for you, but you don't show people that you're weakling. You don't show people that, oh, I'm nobody. Oh, I have no strength. Only God has to give me. Then I can do it. God already gave you the power. Holy Spirit is there. If you read in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, and start reading from verse 6. Paul is telling to Timothy. Timothy is a good man. Studied the word of God from his mother and grandmother. He knows the Bible very well. But he might be born again and spirit-filled. But he was not doing the right thing. Please read.
Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands.
Now here is saying to him, you know, Timothy, I laid hand, other people laid hand on you. We have already ordained you in the ministry, but you are not doing the right job. Please read following verse.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
We laid hand, we selected you. You have all the gifts. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are speaking in tongue. You have Bible knowledge and everything. But you are not courageous. So here he's saying, why are you afraid? God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and sound mind. See, just like doing the physical battle and winning people, same way we have spiritual battle. God has already gave all the equipment for us to fight. Now, for example, I'll give an example. When the man, maybe electrician or a plumber or whoever he is, he has the bag of all the tools. And so he doesn't go to work with one screwdriver and one hammer. Because he doesn't know when he goes, what are the tools I will need. So the same way, God has given us the Holy Spirit and 9 gifts. And some people say, I don't need all those gifts. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, do not lack in any gift. You should have all the gifts. And some people say, I have the other gifts. I don't need the Holy Spirit. What? Without the Holy Spirit, there is no gifts. And so people are confused. We need all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And somebody says, but I'm not going to use it. You will never know. When I start my ministry, I said, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. And it's a long story. You have to go on testimony on the YouTube. or some DVDs and CDs. But the point I'm making, when I asked God the Holy Spirit, I said, Peter, Paul, John, how you use them, the same way you will use me. But when you give me the Holy Spirit, I will do something. I will never use medicine. I was keeping the medicine box in my house. I'm going and studying how to use the medicine with the hospital and keeping the box and giving to neighbors free. But I said, if you fill me with the Holy Spirit, I will never use this box. I will never use the medicine for my body. I will live by faith. And instantly, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. But the point I'm making, when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, I tested. I want to see if God has given me this Holy Spirit and all these 9 gifts are there or not. But I don't have time to explain to you. But the devil is a liar. The day I receive the Holy Spirit, the day devil starts saying, you don't have it. I cannot prove it to devil. I was speaking in tongue. But he said, oh, that you made up the story. You just saying it. But I went to one prayer meeting, somebody invited me, and I was a little bit late, so I took my shoes, kept it out, and they were already praying. And I sat there, and the man was praying, my elbow touched his elbow. And the man filled with the Holy Spirit, and he said, somebody touched me. That man is full of the Holy Ghost. And I said, praise God. So I believe that man didn't know me. I never saw him. But when he said this, somebody touched me. That man is full of the Holy Spirit. He's a man of God. Then I never doubted again. So the point I'm making, I try to see all this package works. And one by one, all the 9 gifts God used in my life. So when you go for a job, don't take only screwdriver and hammer. Take whole bag. It's there. That's why God told the Timothy, I laid hand and all the gifts are there. Everything is there. Why are you afraid? God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us power, love, and sound mind. If you don't have sound mind, and if you act like a crazy person, you will not be able to do the things of God. You have to be courageous. If you stand to preach and start sweating and start scratching your head, one preacher, in a convention preacher, he's studying, and this many papers, he said, you know how they do, when they preach one paper put back. So what I'm trying to say, when he stood there and everybody clapped a hand, and he's a very great man, and he came, somebody turned the fan in the back for the man, all the paper went to the audience. Now this man stood there and he cannot say a word. He simply has to say something, but he says, my preaching is already in your lap, so I cannot preach. And he went and sat down. But I learned one thing. What the Paul says to Timothy, in season, out of season, and every season, you be ready to preach the gospel. And that's what I learned. Even though I'm sleeping in the midnight and somebody comes and say, hey, come and we have arranged a meeting for you. Can you speak now? I will never say you did not give me enough notice and nothing. I will go out of sleep and talk. Or you call me anytime in the middle of the sleep and ask me Bible questions. I will never say, call me tomorrow morning. The point I'm making, I learn I have to be ready all the time. Because God has given me His Holy Spirit, His power. It's a dynamic power. It's not ordinary power. People don't know what the Holy Spirit can do. So God is telling him, you know what? I will be with you. And I will not forsake you. Somebody says, oh, he said to Joshua, but how about me? He didn't tell me. Go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Verses 5 and 6.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me.
See, exactly the same way. He said, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. But at the same time, you have to believe that if you're standing with some in front of somebody, just say, I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. What man can do unto me? You should not be having any fear of any man or fear of anybody, because God is with you. In every situation, we have to trust in God. God says, I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid of any man. The same message to us. We should not be afraid of anybody. No man has power to do any harm to us. Now, in the early Christians, they were persecuted and so many people died. But you see Peter, Paul, they lived long time. One day or second day, they were not killed. Only one martyr we see, the Stephen. But it sounded like he started preaching and same day he was killed. If you read about him, he did signs and wonders and miracles. He was a great man. He knew the Bible very well. If you study the book of Acts chapter 6 and 7, see how much knowledge he had. But he was so courageous. He gave his life for the word of God. So the point I'm making, people are afraid. Oh, I don't want to be like Stephen. God just called me, and if I say something, they are going to kill me. I'm not afraid of anybody. So God says to Jeremiah, wherever I send you, go. And do not be afraid of anybody. Don't say I'm a child. Same word God gave it to me. So I'm not afraid of anybody. So here the Bible teaches us, we have to trust in God. If the Old Testament trusted God and they did great things, we are not killing anybody. But the same way, spiritually, our warfare is greater than the other people. We are fighting with the devil and his army. And so we need more power to work in this world. Okay, go back to the Joshua chapter 1, starting from verse 6.
Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Can you imagine? God already told him, I'll be with you. You go and do not be afraid of anybody. But at the same time, he says, you need another blessing. You need to study the word of God. You have to meditate the word of God day and night. You cannot have success without God, without spiritual matters. You can be bodybuilder and so much power and everything, but your power is nothing without the word of God, without the God's blessings. So he says, Moses has given you the law, and you abide by the law. And when you do that, meditate the word of God day and night, then you will have success. He did not say, go to gym, lift the weight, and do some exercise. Ask those people or any warriors how much practice they have to do that game. But Bible didn't say anything to him. Bible simply said, meditate on the word of God day and night, and then you will have success. Now, if you see big, big churches and thousands of members and big, big congregation, and some of the pastors are not even trained, never went to Bible school, never read the word of God, maybe just came out of the prison or something, or maybe one miracle happened, and many people come to the church. But when he doesn't know the word of God, and the trials and temptation, the problem comes, and they fall. Many, many big leaders, where are they today? big churches and big leaders, what I'm trying to say, you should know the Word of God. If you read in book of Acts chapter 6, Peter says, you know, we cannot feed the people all the time. We need time to study the Word and preach the Word. So let's select 7 people to do this table service, cooking and giving to people. And what was their qualification? Peter didn't say, oh, I want a resume. How many people knows how to wash the dishes, cook, and you work for somebody and work in the hotel or motel and this and that? I want that resume because you're going to work and cook and wash dishes and things like that. What the Word of God is saying. They wanted 7 people. They have a good reputation in the society that nobody can say these people are bad people. And then they have to know the Word of God very well, and they should be full of the Holy Spirit. That's what the qualification to wash the dishes and cook the food. So what happened? Those people did not wash the dishes and cook the food lifetime. Stephen became a good warrior and gave his life. Philip went to Samaria and got the whole Samaritan city saved. If you want to have big success, as the Word of God says, you should be meditating on the Word of God day and night. And if you read, the psalmist took it from this. Hey, if I need a success, good success, what should I do? Please read. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3.
Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
He meditates day and night.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
See, so here is saying, if you meditate day and night on the Word of God, then you will be like a tree planted by the riverside, that your leaves will not wither, and you will give fruit in all season, and the whole world will see that you are a fruitful. In America, they say green thumb. When you are successful, they have green thumb. God supplies our need when you are rooted and grounded in the Lord. But sometimes people say, oh, without God, we can be having success. So many engineers and scientists and so many rich people don't have God. And they financially, they are rich. And David was confused and he said, Lord, why those people are so rich? He said, listen, don't be jealous about those people. And then he found out, he said, I saw a rich man flourishing like Green Bay tree. When I came back, I could not find his roots. It's all gone. Money has what? Wings. They fly away. You can have success, can sickness can come, a disease can come, the disaster can come, and all things will be fly away. Or some your partner, bad partner you have, he can destroy your job. So here is saying, meditate on the Word of God day and night, and I will give success. Success in job. I'll give one example. There was a man, engineer. And now, government told him to give the exam, national language exam, otherwise we'll demote you, or you might lose your job. The man became crazy. He started reading the book and could not understand one word. He came to church and he was so depressed. I said, sir, what can I do for you? He said, you know this language, do you know this? I said, yes, sir. Can you teach me? I said, no, sir. I teach Bible. Even though I know this language, I don't teach you language. I teach Bible. You give your heart to the Lord and study the Bible, and you will have success. He gave his heart to the Lord. I prayed for him. And I said, throw that book you're studying, throw it out. Actually throw it. and study the word. And he start reading the Bible, praying, and he will pray with the tears, and he will become so spiritual. And he went for exam, and he was not only number one in his class, he was number one in his state. How it happened? All those answers came. He became a good student. The point I'm making, the word of God says, any profession you do, you have to have Bible study. In olden days, they had a school and they were teaching Bible to every child and every class, everywhere the Bible was there. They took the Bible away. Now what the children are doing? Killing the teachers, killing the mother, killing the father, and don't have any success. And they go to school, they fail, and they come and they kill themselves. So the point I'm making, teach your children Bible. They will be successful. Okay, let's go back to the Joshua chapter 1, verse 9.
Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it.
Now see, he is telling now others. He got the message, be courageous, be strong, and you're going to be winner. Now you do the same thing to others. Tell others. That's the witness is all about. If you are born again, and you know the word of God, you tell others. Somebody says, if I tell everybody what I know, then nobody will come to me. I don't want to tell them everything I know. That is a foolish thing. The word of God, you know one word, John 3:16, and you tell 100 people John 3:16, what's going to happen? You repeat it 100 times, so you will have more good memory. And now 101 people knows. You understand? So the word of God you give is multiplied. But if you have $100 and give everybody a dollar, you will have $0. He said, listen, we are going to have victory. How many days? Within 3 days. We are going to cross over and we are going to get the land. He said, 3 days we are going to go to Jordan River. He didn't know how you're going to cross the river. But he had a faith that if God said it, I believe it, and it will be done. Okay, verse 12.
And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh speak Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising.
Okay, now he is saying to the Reubenites, and there are other two tribes are there, and he says, go and possess the land. But Moses already told you, Reuben was the number one, the oldest in the tribe. So he said, okay, you and Manasseh's, Gibeonites, those people can stay this side of the Jordan. You don't have to pass the Jordan. But I give this land to you, but you go like a warriors, and when the land, everybody gets it, then you come back and join your people. Or somebody would say, we will be dead. We will be conquering. My wife and my children, we will never be able to see it. Drafting people for army, and people are running for another country. Somebody is going to Canada, somebody going somewhere. They don't want to fight. But that is the wrong way to do it. Now, today, there is no pressure to fight. So people joined willingly. And so here these people, willingly they said, we will go and we'll fight. See what Moses told them something what to do. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 32, starting from verse 20.
And Moses said unto them, If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build you cities for your little ones, and folds for your sheep, and do that which hath proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spake unto Moses, saying, Thy servants will do as my Lord commandeth.
Okay, now they said, we will do it. I said up to 31st, if his time is going. Let's read the verse 31, same chapter.
And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, As the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so will we do.
Okay, he said, we will do it. Now some people will say we will do it. They never do it. But these people say, we will do it. And the time has come. Go back to the Joshua chapter 1, verse 16.
And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go.
See? They said, we will do it, and we will go because we promised to the Moses, and we'll keep our promise, and we will do it. That's the way to do it. Some people say, I'll do something, and they do something else. But these people said, we will do it. And if you read the history, we will be learning, they won, and they came back to their family. Not a single person died while they were fighting. Okay, go back to the Joshua chapter 1, starting from verse 17.
According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses.
We will listen to you. We listen to Moses. You know what? God sent those people in the wilderness, and everybody disobeyed, and all the people came from the promised land. They were died in the wilderness. But this is a new generation called Joshua generation. They promised to Joshua, we will listen to you because we listened to Moses. And all of the people who didn't listen, they died in the wilderness. Verse 18.
Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage.
What they are saying to the leader, you know what? You be strong. You be courageous. Why? If we make a mistake, you kill us. You need a good, strong heart to do that. He says, the death penalty should be the person who disobeyed the man of God. And so they said, but you be courageous. When somebody make a mistake, did not obey you, kill that person. Today what's happening? The murderer, he murders maybe 10, 20, 30 people. And when he got caught, the people say, oh no, it should not be death penalty. Before that they were hanging, he said, too cruel. Start shooting, that's too cruel. And start putting on the electric chair and pushing the button, that's too cruel. Now they are giving injection, that's too cruel. What you're trying to say? Make him comfortable? Very comfortable because he killed this many people and you should make him so comfortable. How those people felt when you killed those people? And we said we should be not giving death penalty. That's why the country goes down. Crime goes up. And the babies are killed every day, innocent baby, but the criminal goes free. Hear these people saying themselves, kill us if you disobey. We need death penalty in our town. So everybody obey. And not a single person was having death penalty. So what I'm trying to say, we have to have good success through the word of God and the obedience of the word. If you do that, we will have victory. And these people are saying, you should be courageous. You should be good leader. And you lead us. And we want a good leader. Shall we rise? We cannot live a life of fear and anxiety. The word of God we just read. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, love, and sound mind. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. Lord Jesus, give us grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Be with us, sanctify us, use us more and more for your glory. Bless your people and supply their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.